Is God a Mother Goddess? Subtitle, Stirring Moms. Look at Judges chapter 5. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. Holy Father, we do pray for a blessing upon our message today. I do pray, Father, you give me the fullness of thy spirit. Use this sermon. And we thank you, God, for a beautiful day, beautiful mothers, natural mothers, spiritual mothers. We thank you, God, for women, the blessings that you've given us, the help. And we thank you for being a loving, caring God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen. Now, everywhere we turn, in one sense, motherhood has been under attack. Huxley, in his Brave New World many decades ago, knew that mother would one day become a distasteful concept for the so-called civilized. We see this also in the Bible. Turn it down a little. In Titus 2, it shows us what sound doctrine is. It says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And it goes on to say that aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, junk food, that type of thing, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. But the Bible tells us in the last days, sound doctrine will be despised. It will not be endured. Well, they just told you. The Holy Ghost, through Paul, just told us about sound doctrine. And we know here from 2 Timothy chapter 4 that this includes much of what will not be endured. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So the things that are taught in Titus 2 are going to be despised. The things that talk about dedicated mothers, keepers at home, that type of thing, that'll be despised. The result is that modern society today is brain soiled by propaganda. And it looks down on mothers. It looks down on large families. And it certainly looks down on any mothers that obey God and put their husband and children before their career or supposed calling and such like. Now, strangely, well, not too strange, the agenda will applaud lesbian mothers, transgender mothers, perverted, monstrous mothers, which are men who think they are female. They will clap and applaud and praise lesbian or transgender motherhood. But traditional, dedicated, Bible-based mothers, you are seen as a traitor to feminism. Now, what's encouraging, I don't know if you've been keeping track of it, but while many are just going further into hell, racing into hell, there is a movement, an awakening. Some of it's not even a Christian base. It's just a movement, maybe a counter-cultural reaction. There is a rebelling against feminism that is going on by many of the young people. They're rebelling against the feminism of their mothers and even their grandmothers, and they have more in line with the values of their great-grandmothers than they do of their mothers and grandmothers. It's an amazing thing to see that's happening, and I hope it continues. Now, while we have this movement in place to despise traditional motherhood, there appears to be the opposite movement everywhere we turn. Almost everywhere in daily news reports, some college or institution is banning masculine language, gender-specific pronouns. They hand out chocolate and Play-Doh to snowflake students. So you have this despising of masculinity, anything to do with a man, and it's everywhere today. Now, these two things are not opposed, as they seem to be. If you realize that the goal is, of course, to make women into men and men into women. The goal, as so many of my past sermons have documented, is a pagan androgyny. Women must become men, dress like men, act like men, and men must become feminized. Classic motherhood is too feminine for what they have planned for modern women. So there must be a role reversal. Remember, there has been a conspiracy of sorts. It's been documented many times. You can go research it. But there has been a conspiracy of sorts to weaken America, to weaken the United States, and build up other countries. And this is the communist goal of equality. So if you're going to have equality, you have to take that which you perceive to be strong and bring it down and raise up the others. And so it's a role reversal. So they want to turn America into like a drug cartel third world country type of thing and build up the other countries so everything is equal, see. Well, men have strengths and women have strengths, but instead of looking at that, they want to just turn women into men and men into women and reverse roles. And I assure you, that is the ultimate goal of many in government, many in Hollywood, many of the elite, so-called, in high places. Every area of society is combining toward this goal, including the chemicalized food, the medicine, the entertainment, the education, and last but not least, religion. It is all working together. Marilyn Ferguson called it the Great Aquarian Conspiracy, and the whole idea is the mother goddess to saturate religion, get rid of the patriarchy, get rid of the masculine god. Religion is too powerful an influence to be left out. So, with all this talk against motherhood, suddenly now you have this push to make God into a mother goddess. You say, well, I don't understand. If they're against motherhood, why do they want to make God into a mother goddess? Well, don't forget, the Bible presents God as masculine. Remember, anything masculine must be feminized. God is masculine. So therefore, God must be feminized or made into transgender, that type of thing. While so many are asleep, as the Lord predicted, the virgins are asleep. While men slept, they sowed tares. While many are asleep, the ancient Gnosticism is being revived and planted in so-called Christian churches around the world. And as I've documented before, the goal of the Gnostics, the goal of the Nicolaitans, which the Lord Jesus says He hates, go read their writings. Well, don't read their writings, but I assure you, I've documented it. The Gnostics, the Nicolaitans, the goal is androgyny. All of the apocryphal so-called Gospels, the Gospel of Peter, the Gospel of Thomas, all those so-called lost books of the Bible, they all teach that the kingdom of God will come when men and women switch their clothes, when women become male, and it even says when women stop caring about children. This will be the beautiful coming of the kingdom of God. And you can find this all documented in many of our past sermons. Now, there are New Age groups that teach goddess worship. You know that. There are the Catholics with their Mary worship. You know that. Then there are Unitarians and liberals with their feminizing of God, their inclusive language, their inclusive Bibles, their ordaining of not only women, but you've got these denominations now ordaining lesbians and homosexuals. Here's one of them here, Ruther, toward a feminist theology, Christ, the new androgynous Adam. So they believe Jesus. That's why they picture him with long hair and effeminate and that type of thing. It's paganism. They want Christ to be the androgynous Adam. They believe that when Adam and Eve separated, they believe that there was a fall and that sin is the division between male and female. So if we're going to bring everything back into this paradise garden of Eden, you need to have men and women being the same. And there can be no differences, you see. Here's the New York Times, 1998. I mean, this stuff's been gaining momentum. mainly since the 60s, but really for over 100 years. New York Times, Feminists Nurture a More Tolerant Christianity. The reforms that church women have been advocating for three decades, among them, gender-neutral language in prayer books, a more androgynous view of God. Androgynous means that God is neither male nor female, he's both. And Jesus, special liturgies that address women's experiences like childbirth and abortion. So that's now some liturgy. This is some type of holy religious experience to have an abortion. I mean, this is pagan. It's the ancient paganism revived. Have, depending on the denomination, become a major part of church practice. Now, while this is going on in the New Age and the liberals and the Catholic denominations, then there is a conservative Christian feminism. It's not conservative at all. It's actually invading what used to be conservative churches, and they're only a few steps behind the liberals. And they are bringing in this feminism in the Christian movies and that type of thing, and certainly on the radio program. Then you have the so-called Word of Faith churches. These are the Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin type of people that presume on God, that think that whatever they think in their mind or visualize, they can create because they're little gods, you see. And you need to understand that that is all based in androgyny. Wherever you have that Word of Faith, charismatic type of stuff, you have dominant, masculine, loud women, and you have men that are very slimy and whiny and effeminate and sensitive, and just, it's an amazing thing to see what that type of spirit, there's a spirit in churches, there's a spirit, and if you stay under the spirit, it does something to you. If your church is full of the Holy Spirit, the more you stay there, if you listen and are influenced and open your heart, then you're going to become, you're going to get more order in your life. As a man, you're going to become more masculine. As a woman, you're going to become more feminine. But in this Word of Faith stuff, it's a different spirit. There's a Jezebel spirit that is operating. Now, this wicked, wicked movement, it is one of the most wicked movements out there, this so-called Word of Faith. It disguises itself as holy. They teach our Lord Jesus suffered in hell. Do you know that? And many Baptists are starting to teach it. They teach our Lord Jesus, when he said it is finished on the cross, they say, oh no, he went down to hell and paid for your sins and was born again in hell and tormented by the devil. The devil's not in hell. What type of people are they? Where do they get this stuff? This is fables. This is New Age nonsense, dark age mythology. The devil doesn't want to go to hell. He knows his time is short. He's not down in hell. Not yet. Our Lord Jesus did not suffer in hell. When he said it is finished, it is finished. And I'm going to tell you something. It says in the Bible, and I don't care what any Baptist who's following the charismatic teaches, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible says when he died on that tree, it says that in a tree, on a tree, he bore our sins. And by his blood, we are redeemed. He did not go down to hell and burn. And that is just insane. But nevertheless, that's just one of the false doctrines these wicked Word of Faith people teach. They teach that Christians are gods. Kenneth Copeland even says, pray to yourself because you have the I Am inside of you. This is total New Age movement. This is the total Genesis chapter 3, you shall be as gods. I mean, here it is, right here. And, well, hey, wait a second. They're not just adopting the I am God aspect of paganism. I mean, this is full-blown New Age movement disguised as Christianity. They have the occult faith, visualize whatever you think you can bring into reality. It's just witchcraft disguised as Christianity. So you've got thousands of Christians believing Jesus suffered in hell, using their mind to create reality, trying to manipulate God, teaching that they are in fact gods, just like the New Age movement. And then not only that, but they are now saying, not surprisingly, I'll just read it. Here's Kenneth Copeland, one of the leaders of this wicked movement. When God says Adam, they both came. They had always been together. Even when she was still a part of him, he was as much female as he was male, like God is. Do you see it, brother? I hope you see it. God, according to Copeland, is androgynous. Adam before the fall was androgynous. Well, No wonder. Any time that word of faith stuff shows up, look at what happens to the men. Look, they can't even talk doctrine with you without going and sucking their thumb and whining somewhere. Effeminate men and loud, brash, stubborn women. This is what this movement does to you. Now, here's Kenneth Copeland again. Adam was made in the image of God. He was as much female as he was male. He was exactly like God. This is the old Christian so-called mystic, occult teaching of Jacob Beam and the Kabbalah. And you'll see it today portrayed in the movie and the book, The Shack, which I would never go see such blasphemous garbage. But this is even being talked about. And Christians are praising this book and this movie. God is androgynous. God is a black woman. I mean, this is insane. But all of this stuff really comes out of the woodwork every year on Mother's Day, not surprisingly. They love to push the mother goddess on Mother's Day. Here's just from a few days ago, mycentraljersey.com. I believe that's part of the USA Today. Celebrating God as mother on Mother's Day. Building on this concept, Christian theologian Mary Baker Eddy writes in her book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Father Mother is the name for deity. Now, when you look in the Bible, did Jesus ever say, this is how you ought to pray, our Father Mother? Did he say, pray our Father Mother which art in heaven? No, he said our Father. You'll never find this in the Bible. But, of course, Christian Science is a cult, wicked false doctrine. But this is the stuff they're pushing. See, the world loves this type of stuff. Now, it's not just the world, and it's not just the cults. Here is moodychurch.org, Eric Noss. Does God have... Now, Moody Church, supposedly started by Moody, you know, supposedly conservative. Moody said, hey, if the Bible says that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it. I mean, what are you talking about? If God said it in the book, I believe it. Now, oh man, Moody Church, how far have they become? How far they have gone? Here is a blog. Does God have feminine attributes? We must never make the mistake of claiming that God in His divinity is intrinsically male. Intrinsically male. The Bible is clear that God is spirit, and as such, He is not gendered. When we call Him Father, we do not mean that He is male. What a nut. I'm sorry. That is just so... What that is he's trying to come into line with the spirit of the age. And how sad. One Christian sister wrote a note, a comment down at the bottom of this. And she has a wonderful comment. She says, I feel that this article is giving in to the pressure of society, which is trying to make us all transgender. God is eternal and has been male forever. God is not transgender. Women do not need a female God in order to believe that we are worth something and loved by Him. Amen to that Christian sister. That is so true. Notice, it's now almost obvious that they're trying to make everybody transgender. I remember 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, as I'm trying to say that this is what they want to do. Now it's common sense. Oh yeah, they're trying to make everybody transgender. When you say this stuff 20 years ago, people are like, they're not trying to make us all transgender. What are you talking about? That is the movement. That is the purpose. But she is exactly right in what she says. This writer is giving in to the pressure and women to feel valuable and loved and to know their Heavenly Father cares for them, and that they are special, they do not need a female God. In fact, let me go further. They worship ancient goddesses in ancient pagan religions. Do you remember that? They worship goddesses many times. Did that elevate the treatment of women? No, it did not. No, it did not. They were some of the most cruel, if not the cruelest, treatment of women you will ever find is in these pagan cultures. But they want to go back to that today. They think that, oh, well, they worship the goddess. This will be great for women. It's not going to be great for women, folks. In fact, look at all the female babies that died in that goddess worship that they ended up sacrificing to the goddess. This is wicked, wicked stuff. You only find women being respected and loved and treated right in Christianity. Wherever true Christianity goes, you find women exalted and blessed. I mean, here's the Lord Himself being born to a woman. You find the women being the first ones to believe the Lord, being at the resurrection, seeing the resurrected Lord. I mean, women are exalted in the Bible. They are... God has His order. God doesn't reverse the order. God has His order of everything. But nevertheless, Christianity told women, men to love their wives. And I tell you what, the pagans did not have that type of mentality. That came from Christianity. That came from your Bible. And you go back and look at how those men treated their wives. I have letters and all types of things written by men. I mean, you'll never find kinder men on the face of the earth than men that were Bible-based and conservative and believing the truth. So they love to pervert that. See, certainly if you go home and you sit in front of Hollywood movies, anywhere you find a masculine male, he's going to be abusive and treating women badly because they want to, of course, they want to paint husbands and fathers and all men in a bad light. That's part of the Hollywood agenda. Now, you can go today, if you don't want to look in ancient times, you can go today to India, the Hindu goddess Kali and those that worship her. Go see if women are respected and treated well under that system. I'm telling you, this mother goddess stuff does not result in an elevation or respect for women. It never has and never will. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to do it now either. You might have this temporary, oh, Mother Goddess, this is so wonderful. Let's all be worship Mother Earth and look how beautiful and sweet all of this is. You know what? The Antichrist, the Bible says, is going to use it temporarily. He's going to use it. Then he takes his mask off and the ten kings burn the whore. You understand that? That's what happens. He uses feminism to come to power. But if you think it's going to result in the blessing for women, you're trusting the devil? Eve trusted the devil. She thought it would result in a blessing for women, did it? No, it brought death. It brought pain and suffering. The devil didn't make her a god. And the same devil is going to be in the spirit of the Antichrist. He's not going to make her a god either. He's using her like they used Eve at the very beginning. Now, as I began to read some of their articles and booklets on why the Bible teaches that God is a mother goddess, they kept coming to Hosea 13 as one of their main proof texts. And everywhere I look, I kept seeing Hosea 13:8, Hosea 13:8. And I said, you know what? I need to read Hosea 13. So I open up the Bible and it says this. When Ephraim spake, Ephraim's the northern kingdom. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Baal is some transgender, bisexual god that they worship. But let me tell you something here. When Ephraim spake trembling, he was exalted. When he offended, he died. Isn't that the order? That is the order. Folks, when you humble yourself, when you tremble at that word of God, God begins to bless you. God blesses you with truth and wisdom. But I tell you what, when you begin to offend against God, you die. When Eve and Adam offended against God, they died. But when you come trembling, you are exalted. If you want to be exalted, if women want to be exalted, if any of us want to be exalted and blessed, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift us up, right? Come trembling before God. And don't leave your place as the angels did and lost their first estate. Now look at verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. So God let Israel out, gave them a whole bunch of food and blessing and prosperity. And what did they do? They got fat, and they began to forget God. That's the same pattern. So let's come to the conclusion now. They forgot God. They were filled and they forgot God. Look at verse 7, church. Therefore, I will be unto them as a lion. Does that sound good to you? In other words, do you want to experience God as a lion in this way? I don't. I don't want God coming after me saying, you forgot God, I'm coming after you like a lion. Notice the very next verse. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. That's their great verse. This is their great verse for God as a mother goddess. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. I mean, that's their great classic text? For God as a mother goddess? Hey folks, let me tell you something. If you're using this verse to teach that God, if you're using this verse to teach the motherly love of God, you've got a problem here. What Hosea is saying is that God is angry with those who try to harm His children like a mother bear. Many feminists, New Agers, liberals use it out of context to show their transgender feminine side of God or their goddess. But we need to read the context. This speaks of the judgment of God upon His people, the northern kingdom, for forsaking the truth. This speaks of judgment for forsaking God. He will meet them as a lion, or to use another analogy to describe the terror of the Lord, He will meet them as a bear robbed or bereaved of her whelps. Few creatures in nature are more fierce than a mama bear robbed of her cubs. And that is a common figure in the Bible. So, if they're going to misapply a verse, they need to at least find a sweet one in the Bible and not one speaking of their judgment. Isn't that ironic? The verse they're using is the one speaking of their judgment, because they are the ones laying a stumbling block before these young girls. They are the ones perverting Scripture. And what does the Lord say He's going to do to those that hurt His children? It says in Mark 9, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, just one of them, that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. So I say to all liberals out there, you really need to find a different proof text for the motherly love of God. Let's go on now. Here's another one. Why God is a mother too. A professor at Princeton Theological Seminary, these seminaries have been taken over by witchcraft and paganism. A professor at Princeton Theological Seminary explains, there are also scholars, myself among them, who support the naming of God as mother, deriving their support from biblical passages, including the image of God as a nursing mother. And then he gives us two verses, Isaiah 49 and Numbers 11, 12. This Numbers 11:12 is the second passage that is used over and over again for those trying to teach that God is a goddess. Now, none of the passages he raises ever say that you should call God mother, nor do they ever say that God is a she. I have many, many passages in the Bible that say God is our Father of every believer, and that you ought to call Him Father, and that He is a He. These aren't, there's pictures in the Bible, but these are literal scriptures. When Jesus says, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven, that's not literal. I mean, that's not figurative. That's literal. There's no picture there. But let's look at some of these verses, the two that he raises. Here's one, Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. This does not say that God is a mother goddess. What it says is that God's love for His people is greater than even the natural affection of mothers, which can be lost. You let society get a hold of these young women, they'll lose their natural affection. They'll lose their maternal instinct. They will forget their children. They will not care about their children anymore. You know, not every woman, but you can definitely, you do have a lot of women today that are aborting their children. So all God is saying is this: my love for you is greater than the love of natural mothers for their natural children. How does that mean that you need to worship God as a mother goddess? Well, let's go to the second most popular verse here. It's in Numbers chapter 11, verse 12. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child into the land which thou swearest unto their mother. Now I have to scratch my head over and over at this one. Why is this the second most used verse for God as a mother goddess? And I read it and I read it and I read it. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, now first of all, you know what I think these people are doing? They're just going through their Bible, finding a verse that seems to describe what they think is God as a she, and they're not even looking at the context. They're not even reading the chapter. They're not reading the verse before it or the verse afterwards. They're not even reading the verse. They are using this verse, Numbers 11, 12, to teach God is a mother goddess. Look at it again, folks. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child into the land which thou sawest unto their fathers. First of all, here's the problem. This is Moses speaking, not God. It's Moses speaking. Moses is saying, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? Secondly, Moses, when he's using the example, says, am I a nursing father? The context isn't even a nursing mother. You say, what's a nursing father? Well, it need not mean, listen to me now, it need not mean that he's breastfeeding. A nursing father is a father who takes an infant that is nursing and consoles it. A nursing father, I stayed up with all my children every single night, rocking them in the rocking chair and that type of thing. That's a nursing father. A father walking around, patting his baby on the back and his infant. That's a nursing father, consoling. Fathers do that too, you understand? In the Bible, good fathers do that too. Fathers don't just discipline and that type of thing. Fathers also comfort. And oh, children love to be held by a father and read to and sung to and that type of thing. So how in the world does this have anything to do with God as a mother goddess? Moses is speaking and is talking about nursing fathers. But then again, I did remember, I forgot. New Bible versions. I bet they did something to this verse. Anywhere you have anything to do with a man, like in the last days it says that you need to turn the hearts of children to their fathers and fathers to the children. New Bibles get rid of the word father, and it's always gender neutral. Wherever the NIV shows up, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be gender neutral. They're going to get rid of anything to do with specific, if it's masculine. So here's the New King James Version. Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child. Ah, now I see. Gender neutral, a guardian. NIV, why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant? Ah, that implies it's a feminine nurse. Well, still it has nothing to do with God. So I don't know what in the world they're using this verse for. There are some beautiful pictures in the Bible that do use symbolism to show how God loves. Let's read some of those. And you don't have to go to these others that I don't know how in the world that got in their list. Somebody copied the list from somebody else, and whoever had the original list just went through, and everywhere they thought they saw something about God being feminine. Well, here is our Lord Jesus in Matthew 23. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Oh, how the Lord waited. Oh, the Bible says in John 5, you will not come to me that you might have life. Oh, how he waited for Israel to come, but they nailed him to a tree. They said, crucify him. And then for 40 years, even after they rejected him and crucified him, for 40 years, he kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And then finally, we see AD 70. I mean, they are just punished. Jerusalem is delivered up to the Roman eagle. But God would have protected Jerusalem. He would have protected their children, her children. But what you have here is the Lord Jesus is likening himself to a brooding hen. We have a brooding hen right now in our shed, and it's real cute. If you go in the shed, I mean, oh, her feathers start rustling and ruffling. She gets very upset at you, and she'll chase you off. She'll chase off the animals, anything that tries to come near her. She's going to protect those eggs, and it's really cute to see, you know. And so you see how protective they are. And the Lord is saying, this is how I am. And how does that turn the Lord into a goddess? For God to say, my love for you is so protective, I'm like a mother hen. How is that somehow justifying you calling God mother? See, that's a picture. A picture. It's showing that sadly, God has this wonderful love. He has this love of a mother hen for us. But a scorner will not go to the wise. I'm going to tell you, many people cut themselves off from God's love. They cut themselves off from God's protection. They get out of God's protective hedge that He has for them. They get out of the church. They get out of God's protective covering. The Bible says if a man keepeth himself, Satan toucheth him not. But you get out of that hedge, you will not allow God to love you. Many people will not allow Christian that God has raised up to love them and help them and direct them. They will not allow them to help. It's an amazing thing to see Christians counting the law of God a strange thing and all God's wisdom of the Bible strained. They say, no, I want what the world gives me. And those that can love them most, when they really need it, they cut themselves off from it. That's what we do. That's what people do to the Lord Jesus. Look at Luke 13. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. A brood is that which is hatched by heat. It means the little chicks that the chicken sits on. Again, this does not teach that God is female any more than it teaches that our Lord has feathers and wings. Do you believe your God has feathers? I don't. But I could just as easily use this verse to teach that God has feathers as these people use this verse to say God is a she. God's love is like a mother's hen. That does not mean God has feathers. Nor does it mean that God is female. Look at Psalms 91. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalms 36. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Praise God for that. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. See, listen to me. Whether animals or humans, maternal love is a beautiful picture of how God protects His people, cares for us, and nurtures us. So God sometimes uses human mothers, sometimes He uses chickens, sometimes He uses mother eagles. But what God is showing is that just as in nature, mothers protect their young, so will I protect you. So do I love you. Now, people will say, well, look at Isaiah 66. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And she shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now, the word comfort doesn't always mean console like a reclining chair. Sometimes the word comfort means, you see the word fort there, to make stronger, to motivate. And certainly it can have the idea of consoling. But all he's saying is like a human mother comforting her children, so will I comfort you. Like a mother hen, so would I have gathered you, but you would not. Well, they flip this argument around. They say, well, we say that when it says God is a father or a husband, Those are just pictures. Well, sometimes they are. However, when you look in the Bible, you do have husband pictures. You do have a shepherd. You do have a lot of masculine pictures of our Lord. But hold on a second. When it calls God a He, it is not limited to figurative scripture. When the Bible calls God a He, it is not limited to poetic figurative scripture. There are literal scriptures all the way through the Bible that call God our Father, that call God a He. If people will conclude that Isaiah 66:13 means that God is female, they might as well say that the book of Revelation teaches that the Lord is a thief. Look at Revelation 16. Behold, the Lord Jesus says, I come as a what? As a thief. All right? As a nursing mother. As a mother. As a mother hen. As a thief. No, God is not a mother hen. God is not a thief. But God is a father. He's a father to the second person of the Trinity. He is a father to every believer. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I tell you what, a lot of people need to hear some of these last words of the Lord Jesus Christ about what he says to the last generation. You better keep your garments. You better keep your spiritual garments and your physical garments. The figure of a thief teaches that the Lord will come when many will not be aware. The figure of motherhood teaches some important lessons about God's loving care for us. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. As an eagle that stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young and spreadeth abroad her wings and taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone, and here is the interpretation of the figure. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. But Jeshurun, Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. I mean, sometimes we raise these bulls here, and you get one of them, and they're just sweet and eating out of your hand, and then they start getting fat. And sometimes they're no longer friendly. And sometimes they're stubborn and they start pulling away from you. And it's like, well, what happened? Well, here's a picture of Israel. Israel was tender and listening and humble and kind and open to God. And then once it gets fat, then you see what happens. They start rebelling against God. Well, the beautiful verse here, though, tells us some important things, and I want to bring these to your mind. Here you have a mother eagle. We've seen the mother hen, now we see the mother eagle. In the first picture of the mother hen, it was a protective love, safety. In this picture, the mother eagle is stirring up her nest. It's not just protection. There are other aspects of motherhood that mothers need to see here today. You think, what am I supposed to do as a mother? You know, it doesn't all come natural. For animals, it comes natural, and there's some natural things that you understand as a mother. But sometimes we need to look in the Bible as fathers and mothers to know how to love. You understand? We need to learn from God. What are we supposed to do? What is our calling? So what God says here in Deuteronomy 32, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. Oh, now hold this in your mind for a second. Wait a second now. We often think of motherly love as only gentle, caressing, relaxing type of love. And if that's the only thing you see in motherhood, you're going to be unbalanced. Now let me show you the contrast here. 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Okay. So you watch a mother sitting in the rocking chair. The father looks over and sees her nursing the little infant. Oh, how gentle she is. Oh, how she caresses it. Oh, how she takes care of it. That is one aspect of motherhood, and it's a beautiful picture. Listen to me, children. And Paul says, in one way, this is how we were among you. Then he goes on to say, verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Two things I want to show you. One is, do you think Paul was female? Well, Paul says that we acted like a father, but he also says we acted like a mother. You think Paul's transgender? Do you think it'd be right to say, well, it's sometimes good to see Paul as a he, but at other times you ought to see Paul as Paulette. And it's not wrong to refer to him as the Apostle Paulette. Do you think that makes much sense? Then why do they do that with God? If God gives you a picture of him as a loving mother and God gives you a picture of him as a loving father, why do we want to then say God must be female? Doesn't make much sense, does it? The second thing I want to show you here is this. In this picture, a father is presented as one that charges, exhorts, challenges, motivates. The mother is presented as the one that comforts, consoles. Says, oh, you're hurt. That mama give you, I'm not your mama, but you know, give you a hug here and it's all right, it's going to be all right, you know. Daddies do that too. But there comes a time when daddies say, okay, that's enough crying. That's enough crying. You're not hurt that bad. Come on. Daddies challenge, do they not? And if there comes a time you're still whining about something, and you start saying, I don't want to cut the grass, and you start whining, boy, then daddies, if they're good daddies, say, uh-uh, no. You're not going to be that kind of a boy. You're not going to get out here and start whining. You're not going to start a project and then not finish. I'm not raising a baby. You're not going to get here and be a whiner. You're not going to, no. You motivate them to grow up. You motivate them to maturity. And we're missing this fatherly type of love today. And many fathers don't even have it today. They don't challenge their boy. They're raising sodomites. They're raising effeminate children. No challenge. And sometimes mothers are in the way, keeping daddies from exercising what God has called them to do. But I've got something else. That's a different sermon. I've preached that one many times. I've got something else to show you today. What I want to show you is this. In Deuteronomy, about the mother eagle, the Lord is saying, as a mother eagle, I led you out of your comfort zone. And he did. He brought him out into the wilderness, didn't he? I led you out of the nest. I stirred you up. They didn't want to leave. They were in bondage, but they didn't want to leave Egypt. He stirred them up. He stirred them up to leave Egypt. Out into the wilderness. Where he could take care of them. What does he do? What does the eagle do? Well, here you got these little eaglets. They're like, oh, good, mama's coming back. She's coming home to give us some food. And they've got their mouths wide open. Here, give us something to eat. Give us something to eat. Well, all of a sudden, you got a few of them sleeping. You've got a few little eaglets over there. Pretend like you're sleeping like a little eaglet. There you go. And start snoring like a little eaglet. Okay? As they're sitting there snoring, I don't hear y'all snoring. Snore. Okay, well, as they're sitting there snoring, all of a sudden, here comes Mama Eagle and says, hey, y'all wake up. And they look up and they said, is it dinner time? They say, no, here,
here. And that's what she does. She nudges them right out of the nest. And they're like, wait, I can't fly. So now they're up there on top of the nest. And she says, okay. And now she starts nudging them off. They're like, you're not pushing me out there. Where, you ever seen an eagle's nest? It is so high up on the mountain. And she nudges those little eagles right out of the nest. She catches them on her back and she teaches them to fly. Now, do you think they don't always want to get out of that nest. They're not always ready for their first flying lesson. And guess what, folks? Children are not always ready to wean, are they? They're not always ready to stop nursing. They're not always ready to take those first steps. They're not, sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not ready to go to the next level. I'm telling you that we often think of motherly love as only gentle and caressing and relaxing, but I'm telling you that according to the Word of God, a big aspect of maternal love is also a challenging love. A love that stirs up. A love that says, okay, we've had enough comfort, we've had enough relaxation, it's time for you to be a big boy now. It's time for you not to pout like this. It's time for you to quit fretting. It's time for you now to learn how to finish something. It's time for you to go on to the next level. It's time for you to mature. How instrumental a mother's love can be. Not only to comfort you, in the modern sense of the word comfort, but to comfort you in the biblical sense of the word comfort, which means make you stronger and push you out there so you will get out here and grow up and do what you need to do. And if you have a mother and father that love you and comfort you in both senses of the word, that protect you, but also refuse to overprotect you. Refuse, you know what's going to happen if she never stirred up those little eaglets? They would die. If she never stirred up those little eaglets, they would die. They would remain eaglets without the ability to fly. They would be dependent. But you know, a lot of modern mothers, they don't mind their 40-year-old child being dependent upon them. That's what they want. It makes them feel strong. But if you want to be a strong, godly mother, teach your children to fly. Teach them to fly upon the air, the wind of adversity. Teach them to go through trials and to overcome and still be strong, still keep their faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 12 says, the Lord alone did lead them. According to the Bible here, mother eagles lead their children out of their comfort zone. So I'm going to ask mothers today, are you leading your children out of their comfort zone? If it's time for them to be weaned, have you weaned them? Or are you coddling them past time? And you say, well, I'm not in that stage right now. You know, we're already past all of that. Okay. Well, your children, the same thing, the same cycle keeps happening. What stage are they in right now? Maybe it's time for them to go on to the next stage, see. But just like a nursing mother that doesn't want to wean her children, there's many mothers sometimes that are holding on in a way that's not biblical, and their children never grow. They never grow. They never learn maturity. And you think they're going to love me. They're going to love me because I protect them and make sure they can always stay here in their comfort zone. But I'm going to tell you something. When they get older, maybe they won't look back and see that as a very, maybe they'll see that as a toxic type of love. Oh, may we have the balance that God calls us to. I want you to see today that motherly love is a beautiful thing, but don't just limit it to a mother caressing her nursing infant. Oh, you need to see. Oh, you need to see that mama bear. You need to see that mother eagle. You need to see that mother hen. But don't forget, the mother eagle doesn't just protect. The mother eagle challenges and stirs up her eaglets. Now, with this in your mind, Not spoiling. Not allowing your children to be held down by bad habits and sloth and lack of motivation. Your classic idea is the father says he needs to start learning to clean his room and he needs to quit disrespecting. And the classic idea is the mother comes over and says, oh, well, and makes an excuse for him, you know, and he's tired or you know this or whatever. Folks, that's not a biblical picture. And you'll never read, I haven't read many traditional books that ever had that type of thing. You see the mother and the father both challenging the child. You don't see the mother protecting the child from the father's challenging. You see the mother herself challenging the children not to fret and to be responsible. We've got to get back to the mother and father knowing when it's time to wean and when it's time to take the child to the next level. We need to get back to maternal love like our Lord has for us. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can reject this sermon. You can roll your eyes. You can say, well, you know, I'm not... God is still going to show you the maternal love in this picture. When you think you're comfortable and God says, you know what? I've tolerated this sin enough. I've been very patient. Look what He did to Israel. He waited and He waited and He waited and He waited. And finally, Israel rejected everything. God says, okay, it's time for some tough love. And He sent destruction. God is not going to allow you in your comfort zone to stay there. Now you can keep rejecting God. And as He begins to discipline, you can continue to just despise it or faint under it. But I'm going to tell you, God is faithful. God is faithful to discipline you out of your comfort zone. And when you're going wrong, when you're doing something wrong, the Bible says God is faithful to reveal it to you. God is faithful to show you. And sometimes He shows you the hard way. Sometimes He shows us the hard way. Okay, I need to reconsider what I'm doing here. And God says, you know what? It's time for you to grow up. This sin, this bad habit that you've got, no, it's time to grow up. It's time for you to be a big girl. It's time for you to be a big boy. And I'm going to love you. And you say, well, where's this motherly love of God? God says, hey, I'm going to love you like a mother eagle. I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to stir you up out of your nest. You know, Christians can sit around and fellowship and praise God for it. We need it, and we need more of it. And praise God to those that have get-togethers and bring us together because we need it. We need one another. We need to encourage one another and love one another and have fun with one another. But there's also work for us to do, and we need to have a balance in our Christian lives. Let me give you this scripture here, and then we'll wind down. I want to show you Judges 5. I want to show you the mothering of Deborah. It says in Judges 5, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that time that I, Deborah, arose. I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? So Deborah, as a mother, begins to mother Israel. She does not mother Israel in the sense of, oh, it'll be all right, Nathan. It'll be all right. That's not how she's doing that at all. She says, wait just a second. You can't even go outside? You can't even go outside and play and do work? You're too afraid to even get out here in the streets and villages? And by the way, where's your sword at? I don't have one. You don't have a sword? Why doesn't anybody in Israel, is there a man anywhere that has a sword? And they go, no, none of us have any weapons. So then she goes up to Barak, the general, and says, what are you doing? Arise, get out here and fight. How did Deborah mother? Like the mother eagle. Like the mother eagle. Says, you've been in this nest too long. You've been into this nest of bondage too long. It's time for you to get out. It's time for you to get out from under this sin, under this bondage. Some of you are carrying around weights and handicaps that have been on you, and they've been messing your life up for way too long. God help us. And the Lord says, it's time to get out from under those things. It's time to get out from under. Oh, praise God. She didn't want to hurt them, just like the mother eagle doesn't want to hurt her eaglets. We've got a generation today of undeveloped babies, weak spirits, unable to deal with adversity or conflict, little maturity. No active fathers challenging and exhorting and strengthening and disciplining. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have any active mothers. Not many. You don't have mothers that wean and stir up the nest and ruffle some feathers, push their children out of their sleep zone. We need some godly mamas to stir things up, to provoke to manliness and maturity. Now look at our text again. Awake! Awake, Deborah! Oh my. What's Deborah do? She first stirs herself up. She says, I got to stir myself up to holy motherhood. I tell you what, Israel needs to be mothered a little bit here. And she's not talking about nursed, folks. She says Israel needs to be mothered. Israel needs to be pushed out of the nest. Israel needs a mama. So the first thing she's got to do is wake herself up. And then when she wakes herself up, she finds out where the men are, and she begins to wake the men. So after awake, awake, Deborah, wake, awake, arise, Barak. Wow. And of course, Barak says, if you hold my hand, I'll go. And Deborah says, all right, let's go. Wow. Hey, if you've got to hold your boy's hand, lead him out there, amen? Lead him out of his comfort zone so he can be a man and he can grow up and learn how to lead a family. So let's summarize our conclusion today. Number one, so-called motherly love also has a time and place for discipline and motivation and such like. Read that verse there in Proverbs 29. The rod and reproof. Notice which is first here. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Oh, so often I have to bite my tongue because you see people in Walmart and everywhere you go and they have reproof, 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 but no rod at all. And I understand they're in public, but I'm pretty sure this is how they're doing things at home too. You know, there's no discipline. No discipline. No discipline. You could talk to some children and say, hey, when's the last time you've ever been disciplined? I don't even just mean a spanking. When's the last time you've had any discipline at all? And a lot of parents say, well, my children are just so good. They never have to have discipline. But maybe you're not challenging them out of their comfort zone. Maybe you're not doing anything they disagree with. Maybe you're not giving them anything to do that they object to. Maybe they get whatever they want. And that's great, but God's not that way. And so if you're training kids to believe they're always going to get whatever they want, and you're always going to be there, you're not always going to be there to give them whatever they want. You're not going to be able to always give them whatever they want. And no matter what you decide, God is not going to be that way. He will not always give them what they want. So you're setting your children up to be bitter at God and to throw a tantrum with God. And God's not going to sit back and let them throw a tantrum without teaching them a lesson. So they can go sulk and fret with God, and you're not going to be able to get God out of the way, see. So the Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his daddy to shame. It didn't say that? No, mama. So in Solomon's eyes, a mama has just as much to do with challenging and exhorting and disciplining and rebuking that a daddy does. The second thing, from what we've seen, the verses show that God loves us and cares for us just like mothers do. And just as committed human mothers do. And this brings us consolation and security. Somebody might say, I love those verses about the motherhood, about God loving as a mother hen. I love those verses about God taking me under the shelter of His wings like a mother hen. And you might want to tell them, well, God's also a mother eagle. They say, yes, so what does that mean? So I get comforted under His wings, right? Under her wings. Well, since God's a mother eagle, like a mother eagle, it also means that right when you're comfortable, who's somebody really comfortable? Right when you're comfortable, you get shaken up by the mother eagle. So there's a lot of people out here today that don't understand what God's doing in their life. They say, why is this happening? And maybe you could say to them, when you get settled on your lees, God's going to shake you up. When you get settled in your nest, God will ruffle your feathers and nudge you out into the open air. You got to be trained, folks. God wants to teach you. And who does He teach? Those that go on to the next level. Isaiah 28. Whom shall He teach knowledge? Whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Now, as long as you're supposed to be nursed, God will give you things and expectations in relation to where you're at. But when God says, you know what? It's time right now for you to get past this area. It's time for you to go on to the next step. If you still want a nurse, God says, okay, then you're not going to go on to the next level. I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to teach you. And a lot of Christians have stayed in the same place no matter what God's tried to do to ruffle their feathers and stir them up. They will not let go of the breast. They will not go on to the next stage. Year after year after year after year, they're in the same exact spiritual place, no better at prayer, no better at handling their emotions, no better at some of their bad habits, year after year after year, they're in the exact same place. Or at least they seem to be. God knows. WorldNet Daily last night has an article that says, College President Crushes Snowflake Rebellions. Oklahoma Wesleyan University President Everett Piper burst on the scene in late 2015 when he wrote an open letter to his students and famously explained their campus was not a daycare, but a university. He is the author of the forthcoming book, Not a Daycare, A Coddled Nation is a Crippled Nation. That's good. That's good. To be coddled is to be crippled. That's not love. That's not love. Mamas, I sincerely praise God for you, every one of you. I praise God for natural mamas, for spiritual mamas. I praise God for anyone that's interested in children, young believers. I praise God for how important you are. I praise God for how you've been a mother of sorts to me in so many ways. So many sisters showing that feminine love. And then you just thank God for them in your life. How much we need our Christian sisters. Just to hear their voice sometimes and to hear their encouragement. And sometimes to be challenged by them in their sweet way. Dear Holy Father, I do pray that you will bless the mothers, spiritual and physical. And I do pray that you will help all women, God, to understand just a little bit more today about their purpose. Lord, we need more Deborahs. We thank you, God, for Miss Deborah that was with us for so many years, God. And how she did have a good balance, Lord, of understanding these things. In many ways, she was a mother eagle, Lord. And we do pray that you'll just raise up, stir up many mothers in the church, in Christianity, in our nation, and in their own families, Lord. Stir them up. May they arise and be there for their children, to be that mother eagle, to teach their children to fly, not just be comforted in the nest. We thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.